Hey, movie lovers, I'm Maria.
And I'm Sam.
Welcome to Unsolicited Flick Pick.
Movie reviews no one asked for.
Okay, Sam, where did this movie even come from? How did I end up watching it on Saturday night alone?
Well,
I tried to get friends. I tried to get my neighbors to come watch it with me, and they wouldn't.
Besides, like, coming from a fever dream, so this movie comes from the mind of Bo Derek's husband, John Derek, which would be why she is the star of it. But before we get into, like, the plot, I have to say, like, just, like, a crazy out of context, like, buzzwords for this movie. If I were to, like, tag it or give it, like, hashtags just of, like, all of the different plot points. So in no particular order, this movie contains Donald Trump, full frontal nudity. Luckily, not Trump naked.
No.
Diving for pearls, ghost husband, white witch, dancing so hard a priest has to exorcise you, and a Wyoming ranch. So how did they pack all that into one movie, you ask? This also is the lowest rated movie that we've ever covered. It's only a 2.1 out of 10 on IMDb. All right. So we open. First of all, I can't even believe I found like a stream of this. This is like one of those movies that you would only find in, like, a dollar bin in, like, a basement thrift store.
Yes.
On VHS, too.
Yeah, it felt very much like a movie I would stumble across on, like, Channel 47 while I was home sick with my grandmother or something. And watch it. Like,
or late at night.
Or late at night. Yes, exactly. Or, like, 3 a.m.
Yeah. So the smallest complaint that I will make about this movie is the opening credits font. It is like, I know that's like such what a thing to complain about, but it was like offensive. It looked like crazy handwritten like Zodiac killer script, and it was like heinous. I will try to post a picture of it so that everyone can see just how deranged it is. A lot of this movie I'm going to have to like post videos or pictures about.
Deranged is a good word for this movie.
Yeah.
And the thing that I find most offensive, I think, is the title.
Yeah. It doesn't come, it doesn't roll off the tongue well. And I think we said this at the last of the episode. It's like, it's hard to find out where the inflection is supposed to be.
Oh, yeah.
The ghost can't do it. Ghost can't do it.
Ghost can't do it.
It's just, ghost can't do it. It's awful. It's like,
are we going to talk about that? How it's in the movie?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
So you know that's one of my favorite things. So, Bo Derek and her husband are like some sort of ranchers. They live in like snowy mountains and there's like a lot of horses. And her husband is very old and he has a heart attack. And even, like, while he's having this heart attack, he's, like, an asshole to her. They have, like, this really weird dynamic. So she calls him Oh Great One, which, like, just taking a few of the context clues, I believe he might be Indigenous. So that might be a cultural thing I'm not aware of. So I will reserve, like, a little bit of judgment on that. But if my husband is listening and he thinks that I should start calling him Oh Great One, you're dreaming, pal. Also, she doesn't like immediately call for help. What she offers is that he bite her lip, and I think it's like a weird sex thing between them.
Yeah
He's laying there dying.
They're a very weird couple.
It's so weird. And like, as if they've rehearsed this 1,000 times, he says, "What are you gonna do?" And like, "If I die." And she says, and I quote, "I will not cry, I will not wear ugly black, and I will go forward with your strength and live life to the fullest, sir. Salute." I have to do those. Those are the rules. Finally, this man is brought to the hospital, but apparently since he's over 60, he doesn't get a heart transplant. Thanks, Obamacare. Anyway, he has like this conversation who I think is his business partner, and there'll be more about like the business dealings later on. The next two scenes are like literally a fever dream. The whole movie is like it's like a bad play. He watches her like ride horses like from inside, and then they like each drive their trucks, meet on a bridge, and then like go for a walk, and then it's nighttime. And like everything just like jumps around so much, and you can like barely process one scene before it gets to the next. And then in the most dramatic scene I have ever seen outside of a soap opera, Scott sadly leaves a suicide note for Katie. He says that in their May-December romance, we both knew that this day would come and it would be necessary for him to kill himself, I guess.
I don't know.
And so she's like crying about this, and she goes, "It's necessary for you to hold me and love me, oh great one, you son of a bitch." These are the actual lines. I paused at this point to get the actual lines.
There was no subtitles available on the stream. Right,
yeah. We both watched it on like a very maybe less than legal way of watching it, but sorry, Bo.
And so, can we just talk about the background to all of the like horse riding scenes and when they're out in the mountains? Like it's literally like a green screen.
Yeah, parts of it are definitely green screen, and like parts aren't.
Yeah, some aren't.
There's some that's clearly like they are on location. Well, speaking of like, special effects.
Yeah.
Which I don't even want to call these effects special. The next scene when Scott is dead, an angel comes to him and says that God doesn't come for suicides. So he just gets this angel to deal with for his afterlife journey. And then like the old horn dog tries to hit on her. And this, so I said this is like a bad play, but this scene is like a school play. There's like a fog machine and wind chimes. And this movie is from 1989. Just 4 short years later, Jurassic Park was made. Those visual effects still mostly hold up almost 30 years later. And this was made 4 years before.
The budget for this movie was definitely like $100.
It was things we can find in a dumpster. Yeah. I'll post us like a side by side of like the special effects that they do in this, and Jurassic Park is kind of my like my goalpost of special effects.
Yeah, no, this movie's insulting to cinema.
It's an insult. Oh, in many ways. We're like, oh, we haven't even gotten to some of the most insulting parts. So we cut to his funeral, and Katie didn't listen. She is wearing black and she's also crying. That is against the rules. And I mean, that would be fine if Scott didn't then appear to Katie and find out that she is doing things against the rules. Katie's talking to Scott, and like everyone thinks she's crazy, but much to Katie's relief, she knows she'll see him again, and see him again she did. She's in bed grieving, and he comes to her and says that she simply must go on her trip down to the Maldives. So Katie goes down to the Maldives. She gets her scuba on, but the whole time she's fully talking to Ghost Scott, and all the locals think she's crazy, but not like dangerous crazy, because, you know, she's still like a beautiful woman. So they're, I mean, not concerned at all. But no, she's not crazy. She's just in a fight with her dead husband because they both still really want to bang each other for some reason.
But he's a ghost and ghosts can't do it.
That that is Katie's point. And that is when she says it. You know how we love a movie title in the dialogue. Ghosts can't do it, Scott. Plain and simple. So, like, if there was any part of you this far that thought that by ghosts can't do it meant anything else, it's all about sex. They 100% mean that ghosts cannot have sex with the living. Is that like necrophilia? Having sex with a ghost?
I think it's more like masturbation.
Anna Nicole Smith has said like multiple times that she's had sex with a ghost.
What?
But that's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
We have too much to unpack to get into that.
Okay.
Just back giving to this
plot line.
So she strips fully nude while she's on the beach yelling at her dead husband. And I mean full frontal nudity, 1989 style. And the two devise a plan that maybe he could just find another body and come back. Maybe a more handsome, younger model. They choose a new suitor, whose name is Fausto.
Fausto.
Who was literally ripped from a romance novel. He has like brown curly hair and bright eyes and very high pants, and like a deep V-neck white blouse. The horny couple decides that they are going to possess this man, and he wants Katie so bad. Fausto immediately has the hots for Katie, and so much that he can overlook that she's a little crazy. He doesn't mind sticking his dick in crazy. So a business associate of Scott pays Katie a visit and tells her that she is, and this is all while she's still down in the Maldives, that she has to take over Scott's multi-billion dollar kind of shady business. So Katie doesn't have time to go after, you know, handsome souls. She's got to be a businesswoman. So it's power suit time.
Handsome bodies. She's already got the soul. Sorry.
True. Oh, yes. Yeah. He's just a beautiful soul, that Scott. He's not. She attends a meeting with a group of Chinese businessmen and A1 Donald J. Trump. And just one look at that horrible ogre pig face and you just like know that this is the area that he's like really feeling his oats. He like really thought he was hot shit.
Well, I blame A1 Donald J. Trump for this entire movie.
Yeah, it's nice to have, you know, someone to blame it on. However, putting aside my deep, visceral, all-consuming hatred for this man, at least in this movie, he doesn't ignore a child who is clearly alone and lost in New York. Do you remember that?
No.
Home Alone? Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Yeah, sounds on brand.
I've never forgiven Trump for that. After the business meeting went pretty well, Katie goes for a quick dip in the hotel pool and she's having a shower when this greasy little gangster keeps staring at her and chases her. So her thought process here is to just jump into the pool completely nude.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this little gangster is definitely not going to jump in after her.
It kind of worked in this case.
Kind of worked. Well, she still gets, drugged. The gangster, like, wants her to pop a couple pills just so she misses her meeting the next day. Katie has a plan, but unfortunately she does not do it. Or at least she does the steps backwards. She takes the pills and then pulls them in the pool. When she could have pulled him into the pool and got away.
Huh.
But hey, I wasn't there. I wasn't the ghost in her head that was trying to give her advice. I would have given her a lot better advice than Scott. So, just saying. Yeah. Katie's all looped up. She goes back to the bathroom in her hotel room. She, like, makes it up there. She doesn't get assaulted in any way. Mm-hmm,
that's good.
And she goes and she's, like, trying to grab something from the air vent, and but she's, like, having trouble staying awake. And I kid you not, it is never addressed again or explained what she is, like, feverishly trying to get from this air vent. But whatever. The next day, she manages to, like, do really, really well in the meeting. And even Donald Trump is slightly impressed. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, as impressed as he can ever be by a strong woman, which is, like, one step above insulting her. He's only giving her, like, backhanded compliments. Katie heads back to the Maldives, cozies up a little bit to Scott's business associate, who's, like, always been in love with her and thinks that he can get in now that her husband is dead. And this gives us one of the greatest scenes in this movie, which is basically they're at the resort and there's, like, a dance breakdown to, like, a really, like, sexy 80s number, and it's, like, raining and Katie's the only one, like, dancing, and all these men around her are just, like, drooling at her, including a priest who, like, is, like, getting sweaty and, like, getting flushed, and he's like, this is just too sexy, and starts yelling at her about being the devil and, you know, normal priest stuff. And Katie gets him off her back by, I guess, pretending to be exercised. So I know the words that are coming out of my mouth. I know I commend anyone who's kept up this far. I tried so hard to make this, like, clear, but the material is just so much.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they fit this, like, 5-minute scene of, like, her dancing, her getting exercised by a priest.
At one point, she pulls a string and a bucket of water falls from the ceiling all over her. Yes! And then she's just dancing around soaking wet. No explanation. Yes!
No explanation. It's absolutely bonkers. And then, to go even further, inexplicably, the next scene, Katie is riding an elephant to meet some woman to come see the pearls, like a buyer, I guess. Again, never brought up again. It was just a stunt, just a shenanigan, just Katie things. She just gets places riding elephants. One of these, like, potential buyers, I guess, claims to be a white witch. And so she can maybe help Katie with this dead husband problem in this, you know, soul-stealing little plan. And they have this conversation over a game of beach baseball.
I had a hard time keeping up here. Like, once Katie was in the pool, got drugged, that whole scene, and then to the baseball. See, I didn't realize they were there buying the pearls.
Yeah.
You did a really good job here.
The whole pearl subplot is really the only thing that makes sense, is, like, the actual business part of this, like, makes sense. She goes diving for, like really, really big pearls that, like, you can only find in the Maldives. That's why they, like, go there, and then they make, like, a ton of money off them. And I think they have, like, one pearl that's, like, massive, and that's, like, the big deal.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so since she's back on in the Maldives, she runs into Fausto again, and the plan to kill him and steal his soul is back on. And they're gonna do so by using rat poison. Plan goes awry when Fausto gets his greedy paws too close to that big pearl. The alarm goes off, and the most pathetic excuse for a fight happens. It was like, oh, like, Katie's, like, crying and, like, whining and trying to attack him, and, like, Scott's in her ear yelling at her, and the White Witch and basically everyone on the island comes back to, like, see what happens, and she, like, thinks that she kills Fausto, but Scott is, like, gone for some reason. He, like, had a time limit on, like, getting a new soul, And so Katie's just like so upset because she's like, Scott's gone. I killed this man with, I think, like a golf club or something, or like a vase. It was like a very Scooby-Doo fight. So Katie's beside herself because her, you know, the plan has not gone perfectly. Scott is gone. Fausto is possibly dead. And she's crying that Scott is gone. And then just dunks her head in the pool and keeps crying and whining about it. No explanation, and it's never mentioned at all. So many things overcome with grief. Have no explanation. Oh my gosh, just dunks her head in the pool. So, back in the afterlife, Scott is talking to the hot angel, and they are scheming a way for him to get back, and I guess it's just back to the original plan. They're going to go back after Fausto. I guess the angel gives him more time. She's kind of like a fallen angel, maybe. I don't know. Needed more information.
Yeah, he got an extension.
They're going to go back after Fausto, who was not actually dead. He was able to be revived and he was thrown into jail. And then he's like busted out of jail. And so she goes to track him down and finds him in the pearl diving area trying to steal their pearls. But then he like drowns. And then she's got to like revive him so that she can drown him again to kill him at the right moment. Because like they weren't ready. Right. I don't know. Yeah, because— Whoa, I'm trying to like read my notes and I'm like, did I imagine this?
I zoned out for sure. Like for the last 20 minutes, I watched it, but I had no idea what was going on.
Your eyes witnessed it. But your brain spared you.
I remember the mouth to mouth. I just didn't know why it was happening.
Yes. Right. I think he drowns and then she's like, oh shit, I wasn't ready to take his soul. So I have to revive him. So that I can drown him again at the right moment.
Because the soul can only enter the body, like, at the very instant that the person's dying.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So she, like, I guess, like, didn't think that it worked. And then, so she's giving him mouth-to-mouth, and he wakes up biting Katie's lip. Which is the great reveal that it was Scott that had successfully possessed Fausto.
Some great foreshadowing.
Yeah, yeah. Nice little callback to the gross moment we witnessed at the beginning. And what I loved is that they dubbed like the older actor's voice over the young guy. So he's like, the young guy's like mouthing the words and the old guy's talking. And it's so funny. It's so funny. And so the two get married and then they just spend their time fucking. Baby fucking.
Rolling around in like a barn full of hay and laughing and crying. And she's like, no, I can't do it again. It was really, really uncomfortable.
Oh, so uncomfortable. And they lived happily ever after.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, Lord.
What?
The categories will be brief, I gotta say. Like, because there's really just, there's like, I feel like I could write like a full dissertation about this movie, but also never want to speak another word about it again after this. But I'll also talk about it lots more if anyone in real life wants to talk to me about this movie. So let's get into categories. We'll go with acting and characters. But fun fact, this movie actually came out before acting was invented.
I believe it.
They didn't even know anything about acting. But for real, some of the worst acting I've ever seen. Came out in 1989, like we said, and like Bo Derek has like a weird accent that you kind of hear in like those old movies from the 50s, and like she just like does the most random stuff throughout the movie that like just, it like takes you full out of it, like dunking her head, reaching for the air vent when like there was no explanation. And for some reason, she's like eating ramen on her way to like this business meeting.
Oh, and like
stripping fully nude on a public beach. Like, I mean, like, get it? Because I mean, I think that's the point of her being in this movie. But the girl is just all over the place.
Yeah.
Just messy.
You know what it really reminded me of? It would be much better suited just to be like a crappy beach novel. You know, like a trashy beach read.
Yeah.
It should never have been a movie.
Yeah. Exactly. This all should have happened in our own imagination. And then we have Scott, who's like just was such an asshole their whole relationship. And I can believe like it was like based in like a love, but it was like insanely creepy. Like she like really like worshipped him, and he like she was like happy to be like a trophy wife, but there was like a lot of weird parts where you could tell that the age gap was like a big part of it.
Yeah, like the age, you don't see a lot of stories play out with a big age gap like that. Yeah. I thought it was kind of interesting, and I'm kind of ashamed to say this, but there were points in the movie where I thought like, oh, they have a nice little like love and
rapport.
Yeah, nice little rapport, and like they really do love each other, even though she like looks to be like 29 and he's clearly 65.
Yeah,
plus. Yeah. I didn't get like this. I didn't get the true asshole creepy vibes so much.
I don't know. I did.
But fair. Like, that's fair.
Yeah. I do see what you mean. I do see that there's like parts of like him wanting to be like a big protector, but I don't know. It gave me a real ick factor. Yeah,
valid.
It gave me like she can't do anything without him because like, oh, he's the great one. Like she's just, I guess maybe the, like, she's not an independent woman. And not everyone has to be. Different things for different people. So maybe that was me using my lens on it. Another thing worth noting, of course, Donald Trump is in this. And it's, like, a whole gimmick because, like, this was, you know, obviously he's, like, was super famous back then and is even more infamous now. Mm-hmm. And our friends over at the Razzies came through and awarded Donald Trump the Razzie for Worst Supporting Actor.
Well deserved.
Yep. And I found this article. I did that Marie Kondo thing and I held it and it brought me joy. Brought me so much joy. And I said, I will keep this.
Ding.
For it brings me joy.
So funny.
Oh. However, did you notice the fashion?
No, did I ever.
Some very good, some very bad, when she was wearing clothes, at least. Many scenes where she's not wearing
clothes.
In which
case, she just has a really deep fake tan.
Yes. Great body.
Beautiful girl.
Great body.
Some very, questionable fashion choices, but some good fashion.
Yeah. She wears, like, a weird fox hat that has, like, little legs on it.
Oh, yeah.
And then we kind of like briefly touched on like she does have wears a lot of like indigenous fashion. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't really figure out if it was authentic or not. And I still have no idea.
Yeah. I don't know. My gut reaction was like, ooh, like cultural appropriation. But maybe it's not. Right. And I don't know enough about like that area in the US even.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Like, I think it was in Wyoming or, like, maybe Colorado. Yeah. So it was, like, you know, in those mountains. Like, maybe, like, near Yellowstone? Like, maybe in that area? But
yeah, it was very snowy.
So, yeah, I honestly, yeah. There was a scene where she's wearing this red dress and she has her hair in, like, a high ponytail. And it's, like, this, like, flowery red dress. And it was, I, like, want to find this dress and wear it every single day. I'm also gonna try to find a photo of it because it's so pretty. Mm. But other than that, yeah, her fashion or lack thereof was just wild and like a really fun part of this movie to be like, what is she wearing now?
Yeah.
Even in a lot of the scenes where she's wearing clothes, it's like a wet t-shirt that's like stuck to her body. So it's like she might as well be naked. A lot of like those like 80s swimsuits that are very thin. And
yeah, oh, it was totally just like her husband's fantasy playing out on screen.
Yeah.
Makes total sense that he is who wrote it.
Yeah. And I think there's, so I did like kind of a brief little like look into Bo Derek because I kind of had heard her name but wasn't really sure what would I know her from, and I don't really think I know her from anything. But there's a couple other movies that are this same-ish genre that are like cheesy romance novels brought to film. Like there's a couple where she's like almost like a Lolita character, like she's a younger woman and kind of like seduces an older man. And so it is like this micro genre of like movies where she's just the whole point of it is just for her to look good.
And yes, exactly.
Maybe there's a movie surrounding it, but so I don't know. I don't know if I'll venture to watch another Bo Derek movie. Let's get your overall thoughts.
Okay. Like I said, the movie left me speechless, which is why I did not have a lot prepared for this episode. It was captivating in the sense that I could not look away. And in terms of entertainment, like, we've watched movies that have bored me a lot more.
Okay.
Than this one. So I wasn't bored. Was I confused? Yes. Was I uncomfortable? Yes. Was I expecting it to like break out into a super low budget porn? Oh, at any time? Yes. So it was all of those things. It didn't. I mean, other than like when, no, it didn't. There was no like super X-rated scenes.
No.
And I kind of liked like the fantasy-ish vibe of it all. You know, like, he's obviously so wealthy, worth billions of dollars, and so is she. So like, to see their lifestyle of the rich and famous and all her outfits and their fancy ranch, I mean, it was entertaining. In the same way, like, I like to watch the Kardashians. So
exactly. That's...
So those are my thoughts. In terms of a rating, I don't even know like if I can rate it with numbers. I feel like it deserves like 4 fox hats out of 10.
Yeah. That's not bad. That's higher than IMDb rates this movie.
Higher than I should be rating it. But that's what I feel. So there you have it. What are your thoughts?
I'll tell you how it is. So they really went there. That's what I think. They really went there. This movie lives on that thin line between love and hate. Like, I've told friends and family about this movie, and in one conversation, I would only talk about how bad it was and what an awful movie it is. And then the next day, I would talk to someone else and be like, this is the most amazing movie. It's so bad, but it's so amazing. So, like, it really just depends on how I'm feeling in that very moment. Because I just don't know. I don't think the kids say this anymore, but this movie lives rent-free in my head. But I was thinking about that phrase, and I thought something that more people should say, like us 90s kids would say, a la Savage Garden, this movie takes up shelter in the base of my spine like a Chick-a-Cherry Cola.
Of course.
I don't know why those lyrics just came into my brain, but here they be. So I'm going to both give this movie a 10 out of 10 and also a 0 out of 10. It gets major penalties for Trump, but major points for the general buffoonery.
Yeah, valid. Yeah.
So just both a zero, a ten out of ten and a zero.
Which does not equal a 5 out of 10. It's a
10 no, out of 10. No, definitely and a not. 0 out of 10. No, this is not time. This is not a rule of averages. It's Schrodinger's rating. It is both a 0 to 10 and a 10 out of 10. I don't think that's but how that works, but whatever.
Definitely the worst movie we've ever seen in terms of like cinematography and set and acting and just felt very, 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 very low budget.
Oh, so low budget. I will look up, I'll have that in our Instagram post or maybe in the show notes. I'll put some information about the budget. And
yeah, we didn't get a ton of facts off the hop, so.
Because it's a very old, not well-known movie. Like, it's hard to find information about it, so.
Sam had to order me a Fire Stick from Amazon, have it delivered, drive it to me, hook it up for me to my TV so that I could download the app that would allow me to watch this movie. So it's not just like you can find it on Netflix.
No. Netflix is not calling Bo Derek and John Derek to purchase the rights to this movie.
No, nobody is, clearly.
Nobody is. And there we have it. The worst movie we've ever watched.
Ghosts can't do it.
Which kind of leads us in to spooky season.
Oh, that's right. That's a nice segue.
So we've got to do some Halloween movies. I'll try to not pick any super scary ones. We'll try to do some, like, fun Halloween movies.
Excellent. Chances are I haven't seen it. I haven't seen them. Whatever you recommend.
Yeah. So look forward to that for the month of October. Maybe we'll try to do a couple extras if we can squeeze it in.
Get back up to our regular programming of one a week.
Yeah.
It's ambitious.
Because, you know, Halloween, then that leads us right into Hallmark season. We're going to have to watch some bad Christmas Hallmark movies.
Yes, okay, something to look forward to. I just have to get through the spooky movies and then we can watch the Hallmark movies. That's my jam.
And everything will be right in the world. Yeah.
And then Christmas movies. Well, those are Hallmark movies. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for listening. If you listen to this whole entire episode, bravo. And also,
we love you. Follow us on Instagram at Unsolicited Flick Picks Podcast and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts because it helps other people find the podcast and then we get to keep doing this. And we also have a few other things maybe planned too. I'm reaching out to a few possible guests to be on the show.
Ooh, fun.
So, yeah. So look forward to that.
All right. All right. Later, lovers. We'll
see you next time. Bye.